Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair third quarter 2017 financial results call on the 27th of November 2017. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Evgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Systemair's third quarter 2017 results conference call. On the line with us from the company side, we have Mikhail Shamonin, President and CEO. We have Vsevolod Rozanov, Senior Vice President and our CFO, and myself, Evgeny Chuikov, Head of Corporate Communications. Before we start, I'd like to remind everyone that there is a copy of today's presentation on our website, which is www.systemair.ru. I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his opening remarks. Mikhail, over to you.
Thank you for joining us today. Our third quarter results demonstrate the underlying strengths and resilience of Systemair's business, confirming the success of our efforts to build best-performing companies in every sector where we are present. Our portfolio companies continued business as usual and maintained good growth momentum, with our Russian assets expanding their consolidated revenues by 4% year-on-year in the third quarter. All of our businesses remain well on track to deliver on their strategies, implement investment programs, and further improve operational efficiency. Our publicly traded assets, MTS and Детский мир, maintain leadership in their respective markets. MTS delivered 2% revenue growth year-on-year and a 1.7 percentage point improvement in adjusted OIBDA margin, reflecting a benign market environment and optimization of costs in retail. Детский мир continued to expand as a market consolidator and posted 6.1% like-for-like sales growth for the third quarter. This is the strongest result among Russia's publicly traded retailers and was achieved despite challenging market conditions. Детский мир's revenues grew by 20% year-on-year, which, along with the further improvements in operating efficiency, brought adjusted OIBDA up by 37% year-on-year. Both MTS and Детский мир retain their focus on returning cash to shareholders. MTS has delivered at the upper edge of its dividend target, declaring a total of 52 billion rubles in dividends during 2017. Since September, MTS is also carrying out a share buyback plan, and Systemair is participating on par with other shareholders, allowing us to retain our effective share in MTS's capital. Детский мир should declare total dividends of 4.8 billion rubles in 2017, which would be an 8% increase year-on-year. Segezha Group, our paper and packaging holding, delivered 20% revenue growth and 5% OIBDA increase in euros against the third quarter of 2016, reflecting both tighter production costs and the company's efforts to strengthen profitability and reduce OpEx. Segezha continued to invest in capacity expansion and upgrades, bringing its total capital expenditure for the first 9 months of 2017 to 9 billion rubles, an increase of 23% as compared to last year. Earlier this month, Segezha Pulp and Paper plant launched a unique paper production machine with capacity of 110,000 tons of paper per year. This project, which costs 110 million euros in total, will expand Segezha's capacity in kraft paper to approximately 380,000 tons per year and enable us to produce paper that is unparalleled in the Russian market in terms of quality. Segezha is also investing in the construction of a plywood facility in Kirov that will add 86,000 cubic meters of high-quality plywood capacity, which represents an increase of 90% of the group's current capacity. I would like to highlight the strong performance of our health group, MITSI. The company has been implementing a new business model aimed at maximizing vertical integration. This means that the group's operational management is based on clusters that include both outpatient and inpatient facilities. Patients may be transferred from primary screening to a more advanced evaluation or examination and eventually to inpatient treatment if required. This model has allowed MITSI to improve the capacity utilization of its hospitals by 10 to 12 percentage points year on year and contributed to an increase in average occupancy in the third quarter of 2017 to 47.6% compared to 43.1% the same period last year. The cutting edge clinic diagnostic center at Krasnaya Presnya that opened in December 2016, is performing better than planned and is already contributing 6% of MITSI's total revenue with an OIBDA margin of 26%. All this has enabled MITSI to increase revenues by 29% and to more than double adjusted OIBDA year-on-year. In the third quarter, MITSI also launched a new family clinic in Moscow and expanded the group's operations in Russia's regions, acquiring one of the largest medical centers in St. Petersburg and a chain of clinics in the Perm region. This added a total of 18,600 square meters or 9% to MITSI's medical facilities space, bringing it to over 230,000 square meters. Another asset that delivered strong results during the third quarter is MTS Bank, and I will let Sevolod, as bank's chairman, elaborate on that in his remarks. Agriholding STEP continues to post solid growth in its scale of operations. In 2017 harvest season, STEP increased its gross harvest by 47% year-on-year to a record 1.2 million tons of crop. In the fourth quarter, STEP finalized the acquisition of 10,000 hectares of land in Stavropol region, bringing the land bank to 380,000 hectares. In the fourth quarter, we have completed the merger of Sistema Shyam's teleservices telecom business with Reliance Communications, a project that we have been working on for 2 years. SSTL now owns a 10% equity stake in Reliance Communications with the potential for a cash earnout if certain conditions are met in the future. At the corporate center level, our strategic and operating priorities remained unchanged. We maintained our focus on the profitability of our investments with a successful exit from the gas trading company SG Trading. We also invested around 4.5 billion rubles in projects of our portfolio companies, in particular in drone production at our high-tech holding Kronstadt and in real estate development. On the back of strong performance by our portfolio, Sistema continues to prioritize shareholder remuneration. In October, our board of directors recommended an interim dividend of 0.6768 rubles per ordinary share, which demonstrates our commitment to delivering on the new dividend policy approved in April. As our cash position remains solid, we also continue to work on our extensive pipeline of new investments in the Russian economy, both in industries where we are currently present and in new sectors. Now I would like to give you a brief update of the court case brought against Sistema by Rosneft and Bashneft. As you are aware, in May, we received a legal claim seeking damages in the amount of 106.6 billion rubles for losses that Bashneft allegedly incurred due to its reorganization. Soon thereafter, the claimants increased the size of the claim to 170.6 billion rubles. On the 23rd of August, the Bashkortostan Arbitration Court partially satisfied the claim and ordered Sistema and its subsidiary Sistema Invest to pay damages of 136.3 billion rubles. We have appealed this decision, and we believe the ruling to be unlawful and baseless, as well as severely damaging to Russia's business and investment climate. In the appeals court, we have filed motions to have the case reheard in accordance with the rules of courts of first instance and to commission independent expertise. We will continue to vigorously defend our interests by all legal means and maintain maximum transparency around the court proceedings. The hearings in the 18th Arbitration Court of Appeal in Chelyabinsk have been scheduled to continue on December 4th. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Siavo Drozin.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. As Mikhail mentioned, Systema's operating and financial performance continues to be sound. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA increased by 1.6% year-on-year in the third quarter, with a stable margin of 30.8%, while the key EBITDA growth drivers within the portfolio were MTS, Detский Мир, Agroholding Step, and Medsi. In line with expectations, we saw a negative EBITDA trend at our Indian subsidiary, SSTL, as it scaled back operations and prepared for merger transaction with Reliance Communications. The deal was successfully completed at the end of October. As a result, SSTL effectively stopped being an operating telecom business and became a minority investor in Arcom. I would like to highlight very good progress at MTS Bank. The bank is now profitable on the bottom line for the third consecutive quarter, which confirms the turnaround in its operations and risk profile. Since the beginning of 2017, its loan book has returned to growth with a tighter credit policy and significantly improved scoring systems. While quarterly sales of point-of-sale loans increased 2.4 times year-on-year to 7 billion rubles in the third quarter, we do not expect generation of new non-performing loans within the portfolio to change materially from the levels 3.5 to 4% seen at the end of 2016. In terms of strategy, our focus is to develop MTS Bank as a leading digital bank in cooperation with MTS and other Systema companies, with a diversified banking model and the risks well under control. The bank is building state-of-the-art remote sales channels, focusing on both on transactions products and online customer acquisitions. Now coming back to Systema's consolidated third quarter results. Systema sales, general and administrative expenses totaled 37.5 billion rubles in the quarter, essentially flat year-on-year as we continue to prioritize cost control across the portfolio and at the corporate center level. SG&A expenses at the corporate center contracted by 23% year-on-year. The consolidated SG&A to revenue ratio declined to 20.8% from 21.2% in the third quarter last year, as we saw improvements of this ratio at Detский Мир, Seger Group, and RTI. Group capital expenditures grew by 24.9% year-on-year in the third quarter due to a 23% increase at MTS, in particular due to the rollout of 3G in Ukraine, and 57% increase at Seger Group, as it has continued to invest in the added production capacity. Moving on to our debt profile and liquidity. The group's consolidated debt decreased by 0.8% during the quarter to 525 billion rubles. This corresponds to a net debt to last 12 months EBITDA ratio of 2.4 times. We are pleased that most of our portfolio companies have established themselves as a strong and reliable borrowers and continue to independently raise funds they require. It is also important to note that over the last few months, Seger Group have been successful in financing debt at lower rates, optimizing their liabilities and costs. The corporate center's total financial liabilities decreased by 4.3% quarter on quarter to 149.1 billion rubles as of September 30th. As we reduced our liability to the Russian government related to SSTL shares by $97 million. The share of corporate center liabilities denominated in foreign currencies now stands at 34.5%, taking into account the hedge of the international bank debt. The cash position at the corporate center declined during the third quarter to 20.4 billion rubles as a result of paying off our liabilities, distributing dividends, and making targeted investments to grow specific portfolio companies. As of the end of the quarter, around 98 billion rubles of 2016 dividends from MTS and BPGC were frozen as a part of the Rosneft court case. And as of today, the amount of frozen dividends reached 15.5 billion rubles. During the fourth quarter, we expect our cash position to be supported by dividends from MTS and Detский Мир, totaling 2 billion rubles. Proceeds from MTS shares buyback of at least 4.7 billion rubles, as well as dividends and cash returns from our non-public assets. We also continue to work on efficient monetizations of our investments in line with our business model. Due to the court dispute with Rosneft that we have been involved since May, our future liquidity are uncertain. However, Sistema's relationship with both domestic and international financial institutions remains strong, and we continue to feel trust and support from our key lenders. At this point of time, it is still premature to comment any further on our financial position pending the outcome of the court case, and we appreciate your concern. We will keep the market updated on any significant developments. As always, you can find more detailed information on our financial results in the presentation and press release published on our website. Thank you for your attention. I will now hand the call back to Evgeny.
Thank you, Vsevolod. Before we poll for questions, I'd like to remind everyone, as been mentioned by Mikhail and Vsevolod just now, we are restrained and limited as to what we can answer on this conference call with regards to the forthcoming court case. So we'd like to focus the questions, if at all possible, on the operational performance of Sistema and our subsidiary investments. So with that, I'll hand over the call to our operator to poll for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. I will pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. We will now take our first question from Ivan Kim of CGB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. On the operational front, how much closer do you think Segizu and Stepe are now in terms of their critical mass to the desired, like a ballpark billion-dollar value, which would allow them to go public? That's one. And two, on the court case, if I may. So after the first hearing of the Court of Appeals, do you think there is a higher chance or just a chance for a financial expertise of this case now? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your questions. Now, let's see, on in terms of IPO, Segizu and Stepe. We believe that IPO should be done once the EBITDA of a business is approaching around 10 billion rubles, because anything less than 10 billion rubles is basically a subscale for an IPO in which we intend to keep the majority ownership of 50% plus. Segizu is actually coming quite close because its EBITDA is already over 8 billion rubles, and next year we think with a high degree of probability it will be above 10 billion rubles. So I would say anywhere from the end of next year and 2019, IPO is possible in Segizu. One should not forget that Segizu still is in the process of implementing its investment program, which includes both building new facilities and refurbishing, increasing the efficiency of all facilities. And this investment cycle will primarily be over at the end of 2018. So from kind of purely demonstrating future growth perspective and value, I think it makes more sense to talk about Segizu IPO in 2019 rather than 2018. And as far as Stepe is concerned, consolidated EBITDA of Stepe and our second agro investment, Erzet Agro Company, this year will be around 5 billion EBITDA in rubles, which is again subscale for IPO. And we believe that in the next 2 years, we'll be able to bring it closer to 10. So again, I think 2019 is more or less a realistic target, unless we have a strategic buyer who would come before the IPO and we negotiate a deal. We have a number of such players interested and talking to us about investments in Segizu, so that may also happen, but again, we do not disclose those plans and we do not guarantee that any transaction will take place. As far as the court is concerned, I mean, our position basically remains unchanged. If you look at the merits of the case, if you look at the legal expertise, I mean, it becomes clear to any competent and professional lawyer that the case against us does not have merit, and our opponents are trying to make us pay damages where, in fact, there were no damages. And if you look at the decision of the first court in Bashkortostan, no damage was assessed. No one ever calculated the damage, and therefore, you know, talking about numbers does not make a lot of sense. So again, if we talk about the legal perspective, and if the court treats the situation fairly, I think our chances of winning are close to 100%. Because I mean, there is no doubt in anyone's mind in the professional community that things such as buying back minority stakes and canceling treasury shares, absolutely common practice, management actions that are done everywhere. Now, how the court is going to behave in Chelyabinsk, I cannot tell you. I mean, I don't have any inside knowledge or information as to whether expertise will be allowed and how deep this expertise will be. The word expertise appeared in court in the first hearing, which was on November 13th. So we're certainly hopeful that this time, you know, court will look at this case much closer with much more kind of diligence than the first instance court. And I can just leave it at that for the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you may signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using the speaker equipment, it may be necessary to leave the handset before making your selection. Our next question comes from the line of João Ferreira of Banco Financia. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. I was wondering, if you lose this appeal on the court case, can you do another appeal afterwards? That would be my first question.
The process is as follows. We lost the case in the first level court in Bashkortostan, and the decision of this court was to award the claimant 136 billion rubles. Right now, this court in Chelyabinsk is an appeal court, and if we are to lose in the appeal court, then we will have to pay. Whatever the amount is decided in this appeal court, we will be obligated to pay. Now, even if we pay this amount, we can still then go to a so-called cassation court. Now, cassation court is kind of a third-level court which looks at the whole situation all over again and can decide that both the first instance court and the second instance court are wrong, and then the money will be returned back to us, and the claimant, if they want to kind of start this process again, will have to go into the first instance court again and start the whole process. Now, even if the cassation court decides not in our favor, there is still a so-called high arbitration court, you know, which can still decide in our favor and again return this whole sequence of events. So, you know, we're intended to go to the very end, because we believe that it will be extremely difficult to make such an unlawful decision on the level of High Court of Russia, because essentially that will set a precedent for any company out there that will be doing reorganizations or minority buybacks or cancellation of shares. So not a single company in Russia, after the decision is made, will be allowed to do those things, including Rosneft, including many other state-owned companies that do those kinds of transactions and reorganizations that we are being accused of on a daily basis. So, you know, we believe that we can pursue this case until we basically reach the highest authority, and that is our intention.
Okay, thank you for your feedback. I have an additional question. Do you have any plan on how to finance the court settlement yet, or not at all?
Well, I mean, we are not in that discussion right now, and I probably refrain from detailed comments on this.
Okay, thank you for your feedback.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Alexander Vengranovich of Atkritia Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question regarding the size of undrawn credit lines which you currently have available for your corporate center. Remember last quarter you provided some update. I think it was somewhere close to 75 billion rubles, if I'm not mistaken. So can you please disclose that amount at the end of the third quarter, 17? Thank you.
Well, Alexander, thank you. This is Seoul here. The amount stays the same, 75 million. So we didn't use any of the Q3.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, it is star 1 to ask a question. Please press star 1 to signal for a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you. We'd like to thank everyone for joining us today on this conference call, and if there are any questions, we're able to field them through our Investor Relations Department. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.